Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, here we are. We are in the Gospel of Mark. We are in chapter 9, and we're going to end with a pretty heavy admonition. So strap yourself down for that one. But we're going to start here in chapter 9, verse 1. Mark, chapter 9, through the New Testament in a year. Just start any time and just keep moving. And when you get to the end, if you didn't do the beginning, then do the beginning. Chapter 9, truly I say to you, Jesus, that some of you who are standing here will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God coming in power. Wow! We're not going to die until we see the kingdom of God coming in power. Now, again, they're thinking of an earthly kingdom. Now, verse 2. After 6 days, 6 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone up on top of the mountain. That's quite a chore to walk up on top of a mountain, but he's taking him up there. And there he was transfigured before them. What does that mean? It means his figure was transed into something else, turned into something else. His figure was transed into something else. His clothes became dazzling white. So his clothes change. His clothes are transformed. Whiter than anyone could bleach them. Now, you've never seen anything like this because this is blazing white. And there appeared before him Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Now, Elijah and Moses are both from the Old Testament. Of course, Moses, he goes all the way back to the beginning. And Moses, we don't know where the body of Moses was. It says in Jude that Michael the archangel and Satan were arguing, fighting over the body of Moses. Elijah, well, you find out about Elijah in 1 Kings. And Elijah was taken into heaven. He was just taken, body and everything, just taken into heaven. So you have this guy who was taken into heaven. You have this other body, Moses, where we don't know where it is. And they're there talking to Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. You ever do this? You don't know what to say, so you just say something? Look, when you don't know what to say, here's a lesson. This is like a proverb right here. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. And so Peter messes up. Peter just has to do it. I look at Peter. I think he's a little ADD. He's a little bit compulsive. He's a great guy. He loves the Lord. God uses him. But, he's just constantly making a fool out of himself, you know, and here's another instance of it. And the scripture keeps it. You know what I mean? It doesn't hide this about Peter. Well, then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. And it said, this is my son in whom I love. Listen to him. Well, this is just about the same, almost verbatim, what was said at Jesus' baptism when there was the Father, the Son, the Spirit, all there together, the Trinity. And it's almost the same words. Suddenly they looked around and they didn't see anyone except Jesus. Now, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave the orders, don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead might mean. What does that mean, that he's going to rise from the dead? Well, something's happening here because Jesus said some of you will not die until you see this kingdom of God coming in power. When they went up on that mountain, the description of Jesus is the same description you see of Jesus in the book of Revelation. This is the transformed Jesus. This is Jesus resurrected and ascended into heaven. And so that's future. That's going to happen in the future. And so Jesus is there in real time with his disciples, right? In the present. But while he's there in the present, the future actually comes and appears to them. How he will be in the future comes and appears to them. And he's talking to Elijah and to Moses. So you have there the past, the present, and the future all together. You see, God stands outside of time, and we're stuck in this thing called time, and it rules everything about us, rules every moment, rules every second, rules every millisecond. Well, these particular guys, they're confused about what's going on. But here you are, past, present, and future all together. So we don't have time to talk about time and relativity and the universe. But God created the universe, and when he created the universe, time, space, and matter, which you need one in order to have the other. With each one of those, you need space to put the matter. You have time, you know, time and space. So they all come together at the same time. And we've learned this as we've learned about physics, that you need time, space, and matter for everything to come. And it needs to all come at the same time, just like Genesis 1:1 tells us. But there they are, past, present, and future all together. Absolutely amazing. And verse 11, they said to him, why do the teachers of the law say Elijah must come first? Well, they say that because of what it says in Malachi, the last verse of the Old Testament, says that he was going to send him. And Jesus said, to be sure, Elijah comes first and restores all things. Why is it written that the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they did to him everything they wished, just as it was written about him. So Jesus seems to be alluding to the fact that John the Baptist is either the Elijah to come, or he's a type, a forerunner of the one who is to come, Elijah. So you can go back and read that in Malachi, very last couple of verses in the New Testament. And then there's 400 silent years in between them. Verse 38. Teacher, John said, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Now, this is territorialism, parochialism, exclusion. Thinking we're the only ones, thinking we are the inside group and nobody else has it. Jesus said, verse 39, don't stop him. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I say to you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to me, belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward. Wow. Are you that generous in who you include and who you think belongs and who you think are the ones that are right? Jesus is very generous. And they say that we're going to be very surprised in the world to come when we see who's actually gotten in. And maybe we might be just as surprised to find out who didn't make it, one or the other, or both. But let's learn to get along. Let's learn to get along. The body of Christ in John 17, Jesus prayed that we would be united. And so just because we don't express ourselves the same way doesn't mean that we exclude other believers. There's an awful lot of expression. There's an awful lot of diversity. God's the author of diversity. Diversity is the big word, you know, big buzzword, diversity. God came up with diversity a long time ago. There's no two snowflakes that are alike. So God likes diversity. So verse 42, chapter 9. If anyone causes one of these little ones, these children, who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. For it's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm that eat never dies and the fire is never quenched. And everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but when it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. Okay, we can't cover all of that, but we can cover the first part. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it's better for a large millstone hung around their neck and thrown into the sea. Well, if you take a millstone was this huge stone that they would use to grind up wheat. And so if you take that and put it around your neck and throw you in the sea, you die. It would be better for you to die than to stumble one of these little ones. Now, for the church, particularly the church in the 20th and in the 21st century, I think this is a huge admonition. The church has just come off of, or maybe is still right in the middle, I don't know, of this child abuse scandal that's been going on for decades. It's being uncovered even now, even as we speak. Just a moment ago, we said, you know, that there are all kinds of different expressions. Well, particularly, this happened in the Catholic Church, where literally thousands of priests were abusing young children. And many of those priests were being pushed on to a new parish. Now, don't think that it's only the Catholic Church. This has happened in the Protestant Church, the Protestant mainline church, and in the evangelical churches. However, over the last decades, that's numerous decades, it's primarily been in there. And so Jesus takes it quite seriously. You don't mess with the kids. You don't mess with the kids. You don't take advantage of the kids. You know, child sexual abuse happens primarily by people that children know and trust. This is an awful thing. And so Jesus doesn't like it at all. And he says, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Well, that must be metaphorical or allegorical, because if I pluck out one eye, I can still see through the other. Even if I poke out both of them, I can still have the same thoughts. If I cut off one hand, I still can sin with the other hand. So he's talking about the severity of these things and getting them out of your life. But man, let's just reflect on the kids. Let's protect kids, because there's a lot of junk coming down right now against kids, an awful lot of junk. And so we don't need to get into the particulars, because the principle is always the same. Don't stumble these kids. Jesus hates it. He'd rather that you be dead than stumble these kids. So find us, Bible and Daily Life. Find us on Spotify. Find us on iTunes. Find us on YouTube. Find us, BibleandDailyLife.com. Find us on Facebook. Find us wherever you find podcasts. Hey, bless you guys. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. Peace.